Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's AEW Dynamite on TNT.
Well, Andrew Sochek, I'm sure, you know, there's nothing really to discuss today. It's kind of a low-key Saturday. Not much going on. Nobody was fired. There were no big, you know, uproars in the wrestling world. It's not a busy night at all. Like, there's two shows on. It's a pretty quiet Saturday evening here in the month of September, right?
I think so, yeah. So we'll probably just do, like, a five-minute show tonight.
Yeah, that's it. In and out. In and out quick. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Sochek. We host the Monday PW Torch Daily Cast on AEW at the moment. We're filling in tonight for Wade. Wade's covering Payback. Of course, WWE is a pay-per-view going on at the same time as this Collision show for AEW. But we're going to talk AEW Collision and, of course, CM Punk for probably the next hour or so tonight. This show, we're filling in, and this is kind of an unscheduled show, but with everything that happened today, we, of course, felt at the torch that it was necessary to probably do a show on what will be probably one of the more newsworthy nights of the year, newsworthy weekends of the year, anyway. If you wanted to join us, 347-215-8558 is the number, 347-215-8558. Andrew, we'll start with Punk. Of course, that was the big news. We'll get to the show and just how they've kind of built all out as well. But let's start with Punk, because that was kind of obviously the biggest news of the day. You texted me. You were the one that told me the news. I didn't even know that it had happened until I saw your text earlier today. What was your initial reaction when you saw that CM Punk was fired?
I must say I was pretty shocked. I mean, it obviously, I think, makes sense. You know, you can't, like, beat up a coworker twice within the span of a year. But I didn't think Tony Khan would. I thought Punk was too valuable to the company. You know, they got that big, TV negotiations, right? Coming up, and I just figured, like, Tony Khan was going to let this slide again. But we found out tonight, I mean, and we'll get into it more, but, like, when he said he thought his, like, life was, threatened, that's a whole other level of seriousness that I didn't think was there.
I mean, I kind of chuckled at it because, you know, he doesn't feel like his life is threatened with the guy who, you know, pulled a gun on somebody in a traffic jam a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, there was a backstage scuffle and he feels like his life was threatened. I thought Tony probably was better off just not speaking. Like, I applaud him for wanting to be out in front of it, I guess. But he's so awkward in those moments that he may have been better off just keeping his mouth shut. Because, like, you feared for your life. What, because there was a fight going on backstage? And that's what leads me to believe, too, by the way, I don't think CM Punk was fired for getting into an altercation with Jack Perry. The reports were out there, including from Wade, that there was an issue, that there was some sort of interaction between Punk and Tony. I think he was fired for that.
Yeah.
If he lunged at Tony Khan, that's why he was fired. Because I think if it was just Perry, if it was just him and Jack Perry, I think that he would have been suspended. They both would have remained suspended, and we would have seen what happened. But I don't think he would have been fired less than a week later if it was just him getting into a fight with Jack Perry backstage. I think he was fired for lunging at Tony. And I think that was Tony's way of acknowledging that.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel that there's going to be some footage of this coming out, and I think maybe Tony wanted to get ahead of that. It's pure speculation on my part, but from what I've read is that Wembley has cameras everywhere, so there's some sort of footage of this, and it's very possible it'll come out. And if it shows Punk, like, losing his mind and beating up Perry and lunging at Tony, like, you have to get ahead of that and let him go. So I'm assuming it's worse than I originally thought, but I'm also with you. If it was just him choking out Jungle Boy, you know, getting a little scuffle, having to be pulled apart, probably not a huge deal. Probably not a fireable offense from Tony, but the fact that he may have, you know, somebody, you know, Punk, not the toughest guy in the world, but Tony's not very big. So Punk, like, you know, lunging at him probably did scare him a bit, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reporting was out there earlier in the week that a lot of people thought that Perry was going to be face the brunt of the discipline. And I think that's true if it was just that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I think if you're Tony, if you're AEW, it's really easy to say, well, look, like Jack instigated the whole thing with what he said in the first place. He went into business for himself, said an inflammatory comment about a guy that he knows is going to fly off the handle with an inflammatory comment. And also, like, and then he comes backstage and goes, oh, I was just trying to get heel heat. In what way? By disrespecting the guy that, you know, a large chunk of the fan base doesn't like, that's going to get you heel heat? Come on. Like, Jack Perry just wanted to go into business for himself and make a point because he's a child, and that's what he did. CM Punk cannot attack the guy backstage when that happens. I'm not saying that that makes it okay.
Right.
But I think if it was just that incident, then it would make sense that they would both be disciplined, but Perry would probably face the stiffer of the discipline. But if it goes one step further and then Punk takes a swing at Tony or shoves Tony or does whatever, you know, that brings it to another level, and that's a completely different situation. I almost think they're handling it and looking at it as two separate incidents. There was the incident between Perry and Punk, and then there was the incident between Punk and Tony. And I think the incident between Punk and Tony is why here on September 2nd, 2023, he finds himself fired.
Yeah, and it sounds like Punk was already riled up when he got to the building anyway. He was pissed off about his travel accommodations, even though he's a millionaire many times over and could have just, like, got a taxi to where he needed to go. But it seemed like he purposely wanted to kind of, like, stew in his anger. And so he was already in a really bad mood when he got out there. And, yeah, it's, I mean, incredibly stupid of Jack Perry to do that. As soon as he said that, I was like, oh, man, that's not going to go well. I didn't think it would go this poorly. But, yeah, a stupid thing that he said that, like, just had major ramifications. And, you know, you can't obviously blame it all on, you know, Jungle Boy. But, you know, had that not happened, what would have tonight been like? You know, it could have been like a we'd be looking at Punk versus Ricky Starks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what else. I mean, look, I think Tony has a lot more steps to take, too, if he wants to get control of his locker room back. I mean, the other thing that is part of this is he has created an atmosphere within his company where guys feel empowered to just do what they want and think they're not going to face repercussion. Like, Jack Perry said what he said because he didn't think he was going to get in trouble for it. Probably because he figured, I don't know, he has the back of the Bucks maybe, or like, or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
But he clearly didn't think he was going to face any discipline from it, or else he wouldn't have said it. So, and there's this atmosphere where, like, guys just kind of do what they want. And we've talked about it on our show. I don't know that a lot of people, wrestlers, look at Tony and respect him as an authority figure.
I think that will change it a bit, at least tonight. I do give Tony credit for going out in front of the Chicago crowd and saying, like, hey, I'm sorry if I disappointed you, but, like, this is what happened. Agreed. Like, it's totally awkward, like, how he does it. But the fact that he had the guts to do it, like, I give him some credit for that, and give him some credit for firing Punk and for saying, like, it was my decision.
Yeah.
I mean, people are still he's not going to be, like, a total hard ass or anything, I'm assuming. But I think it was an important step for him as an owner tonight.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do something with Perry, too. I mean, I think,
yep.
And I don't know that just suspending him is going to do it. You know, I'm not saying you're going to fire him either. You know, he probably needs, the way I described to somebody earlier tonight, he kind of needs, like, the Triple H 1996 treatment, where, like, look, you're going to come back and you're going to get buried for, like, 6 months. And then maybe we'll look at repushing you again. But if he wants to prevent things like this from happening again, and they're completely separate incidents, as we've said, but if he wants to prevent, because it's not the first time it's happened, You know, Punk went into business for himself on a promo with Hangman a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hangman went into business for himself and cut a promo on Punk, which kind of started this whole thing a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Like, there's been multiple instances of guys just going into business for themselves on television. If Tony really wants to put an end to that, you have to take somebody like Jack Perry and say, you know, we're going to come back and we're going to bury you. Like, everyone is going to beat you. And then
Peter
maybe
Avalon.
We can talk about repushing you again, which is exactly what WWE did to Triple H 30 years ago, you know, when the curtain call happened. But it almost is like, look, he's got to make an example out of somebody. And
yeah.
I don't think firing Punk is the only example you can make, because Punk, again, wasn't fired for going into business for himself on a promo. He was fired for apparently trying to smoke his boss with a punch or whatever. You know, I think I'm hopeful that maybe Tony's at the point where he's just fed up with this, and it's like, I'm not here to be everybody's friend. I'm here to be the boss. And Jack, you're going to lose. You're going to lose a lot. And if you don't like it, then quit and go home. I don't care. Like, that kind of has to be his attitude at this point.
Yeah, and in the past, I would kind of, you know, cut Punk some leniency, because it's like, well, he is the biggest star. They do have, you know, there's potentially hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here for signing that contract. Like, I get why Tony is a little bit more lenient on it. It's just like how the world works. Jungle Boy doesn't have that. He doesn't have that star power. You can make an example out of him. He's not like this amazing talent right now in his career. And I agree. I agree. You give him the Triple H treatment. When he comes back, you don't make a huge deal out of it even. You don't say like, hey, I mean, you could go the route of like, hey, I'm the guy that ran Punk out of this company and, you know, take shots like that. But I would go the other route, like establish yourself as a leader even further. And just like, hey, Jungle Boy, like you're saying, like you're not going to be in any major programs for a while. So deal with it until I can learn to trust you. Because what you did was stupid and obviously caused some huge issues.
And I also chuckle, too, at some of the people that are trying to take a victory lap about this. Like, it's like finally, like, I told you so or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fine, if that's what you want to do. I mean,
yeah.
If you're a fan of the company and you want them to succeed, this is not a good day, regardless of whether or not you like CM Punk.
Terrible day for them,
yeah. You know, and I just... I was going to bring it up. We weren't able to record last week because I was tied up. But one of the things that struck me is just hilarious about, and it was more last Sunday than later on in the week and later on today. But the same people, it just struck me as odd, the same people that a year ago, when you and I were talking about the brawl after All Out, the same people a year ago that were saying, well, what did you expect Bucks and Kenny to do? Like, they were called out. Of course they went and hunted down Punk and went into his locker room. Those are the same people that said last Sunday, well, yeah, Perry said something, but Punk just should have, you know, let it slide. Like, you can't win with some people. There's a strong segment of the AEW audience that just hates CM Punk because they're in love with the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks hate CM Punk. And that's just, that is what it is, right? I think that's foolish, but they are dealing with a segment of their audience definitely in that camp.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a bad combination.
Choking.
It was just a bad combination. I mean, you know, Punk had everything. He could have had the greatest, like, feel-good story, you know, over the past couple of years, but he couldn't get along with Young Bucks. Young Bucks couldn't get along with him. No side was completely blameless. Punk obviously was the one who got physical on multiple occasions. Like we said last year, like, he shouldn't have fought, but also the Young Bucks shouldn't have confronted him. Same thing this time. Like, Punk should not have confronted Jungle Boy. There was another time and place to do that, not before the first match of the biggest pay-per-view in the company's history. That was idiotic on Punk's part as well.
Yeah, I not to beat a dead horse here, but I just don't think that, you know, I think a segment of the audience that is happy with what happened today. Like, they look at today's victory. Which I don't think it was a victory for the company as a whole.
No.
And also, you know, almost want to celebrate Jack Perry. And like, he's their hero now. And it's like, no, he still went into business for himself. He can't do that. Not even trying to run a company.
No. if they get like, you know, if the ratings on Collision start going down, and that could potentially cost them tens to hundreds of millions of dollars. Like what they're do, like if those ratings go down enough, it could be a massive, massive financial hit, like sparked by what Jungle Boy did. Again, he's not like the main like thing here, like Punk shouldn't have done what he did, but yeah, it's potentially financially terrible for what happened.
And then we kind of got to it at the very beginning, but what did you think of Tony's comments? Like I said, I applaud him for getting out in front of the people and saying it, I guess. But it wasn't delivered very well. I think he's going to end up getting mocked for how he delivered it and what he said.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I was reading it like I spent a lot of time tonight just like reading through message boards and Reddit and checking out the Torch and different websites to read through it. So I was like half paying attention to the actual show tonight. But a lot of people are like making fun of him because of the whole line of that he was scared for his life. And I don't want to do that because I don't know how he felt. Like I can't say how he felt, and maybe the footage will come out and Punk was like really close to him and about to hit him. Like obviously he probably wasn't going to die, but I don't like, you know, I'm sure he was scared. But I think unless he truly, truly did think he was going to die, he should have maybe left that out just to like,
just leave that line out.
Well, yeah, I'll leave that one out.
Fear for your safety. Like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like I was, and of course you shouldn't like fear for your safety in your job, your own job. I've never had to like deal with anything like that with a coworker, but yeah, I would have probably done another take.
He also cut that in front of the live crowd, too. It was not on TV. There were parts where it seemed like he was booed during that. There were parts where he was cheered during that. But, again, he put himself out there. You know, I can't say that he tried to hide from it.
Yeah. Probably the bravest thing he's done on TV, I guess. It seems to have worked because by the end of it, he was getting some cheers. He did get booed a lot at the beginning, but by the end, there were people who seemed receptive to him. And there weren't. Surprisingly, unless I missed it, there were not a lot of like big CM Punk chants. Like I caught one at the very end.
The very end when the Bucks came out. It was really the one that I heard, yeah.
Yeah, but this crowd was like nowhere near as mad as I thought they would be about it.
And maybe that was part of the strategy too, was let them get that out before we go on the air and let them yell it at Tony. And they're not yelling it when the lights go on. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
And then we'll get to some phone calls, of course, in a minute here as well. I see people starting to get lined up. They did the rest of the build all out. Between Wednesday and tonight, what do you think of the job they've done to try to build up this card?
D minus might be generous. I will admit I'm more intrigued than I was earlier today, just due to the fact that Danielson will be there, but far the least I've ever looked forward to one of their pay-per-views. If I was not co-hosting the show, I would not order this show, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I came away from Wednesday being like, wow.
Yeah.
They just punted on this show. You know, and it's supposed to be their biggest pay-per-view of the year. I mean, if All Out is their WrestleMania, Double or Nothing's their SummerSlam. Like, that's kind of the way it's been established and set up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think at WrestleMania that WWE would have Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa in a tag match against Chad Gable and Otis? Like, is that what they would do? No, because that's insane. There's definitely a way you could have had a world championship match in the show. It's supposed to be your biggest pay-per-view of the year. I know you just had a pay-per-view last week. There should be a world title match on this show. And considering this is Tony's own words, the biggest week in AEW history, you should not have given MJF this week off.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You're sitting here calling it the biggest week in the history of your company, and you're going to give your world champion the week off because he wants to spend some time in Paris? Like, again, there's being friends with everybody, and then there's being a boss. Like, you know, MJF, I'll give you a week off, but it can't be this week. We have pay-per-views back-to-back weeks, and you're going to take the two TVs off in between the two pay-per-views. Those are the ones that you're not going to be on the show? I just thought that was a poor decision.
That was a bad decision. The announcement. So I was listening to Wade's show of talking about Dynamite, and he went over like the spoilers of what happened on Rampage. And when he was talking with the caller of like, who won that battle royal, and when they said Dark Order, I like literally out loud went, no.
Like, yeah, I legit laugh out. I LOL'd legitimately. Like, I actually laughed out loud.
Yeah, I am still like stunned that that is a match. I want to say no disrespect to those guys, but you know, a little bit of they're not in MJF and Cole's league, and like you're taking this hot storyline and having them face basically high level jobbers. People that,
and that's the thing. It's no offense to them. It's just that's the way they've been booked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like mind-boggling that they would do that. Like I was before that, I was really down on the Shane Taylor match because he has never appeared on AEW TV, and you're putting him up against Joe, and I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is, you know. And I was, and then they announced this match. I'm like, oh wow, that would not main event a Dynamite. I don't think
no.
Dark Order versus
no,
Joe. Yeah.
No, it might be the 9 p.m. match. It might be the crossover.
Might
match.
Be that, yeah.
You know, and it's crazy to me, like, that's the decision you made. Again, you want to put him in a tag match, fine. But against that, like, put him in a do a rematch with Aussie Open.
Yeah,
if that's what you're gonna
yes.
do. They just lost the titles. That makes more sense. Put him in there with the Hardys if you want to. Yeah. Some sort of the Dark Order, like you said, I mean, you guys have been upper-level job guys. And no offense, that's just how they've been booked for a long period of time. And that's the match you're going to go with that your world champion is going to be in on the biggest pay-per-view of the year. Theoretically, you know, you could make the argument that last week was bigger, and I would make that argument. But traditionally, this has been your biggest show of the year. And really, until Wednesday, there were three matches booked. And I get it. They had a pay-per-view last week. But it's not like anyone forced them to do that. Like, they booked those shows. I'm not going to cut them any slack going, well, they had two shows, back-to-back weeks. What do you want them to do? Book them on back-to-back weekends. Last time I checked, nobody held a gun to Tony's head and say, hey, you got to do pay-per-views on back-to-back weekends. Like, you cannot book the shows that way. And apparently they're going to do the same thing next year, too.
Next year, yeah.
Space it out. If you're married to All In at the end of August, fine. Have All Out at the end of September. You don't need to do it Labor Day weekend. Guess what? They've barely sold tickets this year. Like, it's not like it's this big demand and a big draw right now. Not with the setup that they've had. You know, they're having trouble selling tickets domestically to every show, this weekend included.
Yep.
So you're telling me if you hold it a different weekend other than Labor Day weekend, it's going to be this big cost of it? What, for the sake of tradition? Come on. Like, there's a reason why back-to-back pay-per-view weekends has only happened once. It was 35 years ago, and then it was never done again because it's an awful idea.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that he said that. I mean, Tony was, like, teasing that it won't be on pay-per-view. I'm guessing, you know, by then it'll be on Max, but still, it's still – you're weakening the cards by having them, like, split up like that. And, like – sorry to say it, they're not as big as WWE. You can't do, like, WrestleMania. You know, they've gotten to the point where they can do WrestleMania two nights in a row, have the star power, have the celebrities, have the, you know, everything going for them and make it feel like a huge deal. But AEW obviously cannot do that 2 weeks in a row. They pulled it off with Wembley, and they failed pretty badly with this one.
Yeah, and some of the segments, even on tonight's show, were just a little clunky. I mean, the Rodman thing was a mess.
That was... aside, but like Jared and Rodman were never in the NWO together. So they're playing off of WCW history, but they're getting the history wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like Rodman didn't even seem like he knew what he was doing out there. And then.
Oh, no, he's just making noises.
Jared interrupted him and was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're going to be in their corner. It's like, what? When did he say anything about being in their corner? What are you talking about?
It was rushed in so bad.
Yeah. And then even earlier in the night, Ricky Steamboat. But.
Oh. He's not good.
I had no idea what was happening. Not a clue. And the announcers didn't even do a good job of being like, oh, look, it says the dragon on the contract. Like, I assume that's what it said.
It, yeah.
As they were moving in that direction, I'm like, oh, I bet it just says the dragon on it. But, like, no one seemed to know.
He seemed to, like, flub his lines. He didn't. He was like, they call me the dragon. You know, I'm the dragon.
It wasn't good.
It was bad delivery, unfortunately. I figured that's where they were headed, but and that was a clunky segment. The stuff with the Acclaimed I didn't think was good tonight. Yeah, probably the weakest collision so far as well.
And then I'm not even exaggerating, I think, when I say 10 backstage promos. Somewhere in that range. It felt like everybody was doing – they were probably recorded the other night. But Orange Cassidy and Moxley each did one. Samoa Joe did one. They got Ricky Starks leaving with an interview.
Yeah.
The Statlander thing with Ruby Soho. I'm sure there were more. Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. But it was just like – oh, Adam Cole was another one.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of pre-recorded backstage stuff, which is – I mean, I guess it's fine if you're trying to sell to a pay-per-view and bring it to a, you know, you're trying to use as a go-home show to a pay-per-view tomorrow night. But, like, there were times, like, there were long stretches of this Collision show where instead of feeling like an episode of a wrestling show, it felt like what's airing right now. Like that the countdown to All Out, like where they just kind of air video packages. And that's kind of, there were periods of this Collision tonight where it's like, is that what I'm watching? Because it's just backstage promos. Nothing's happening in front of the crowd. And it's all stuff that you know was taped Wednesday. And it just, I thought they could have done a better job considering everybody's in Chicago.
Yeah. And you were talking about MJF before, but like, you know, if they gave him the week off for whatever reason, or he's sick, I don't know. Well, I'm guessing he's not sick because he's got to be there tomorrow. But, like, why would you not put Adam Cole in front of the crowd and, like, cut this promo, you know, give them a little something and hype up and try to hype up that match as much as you can. But instead, he's just, like, reading off a text message. It's goofy. The only thing I enjoyed tonight, I think, was like Moxley's promo and Orange Cassidy's promo, who I've been very harsh on, but
I agree.
He did a good job. Yeah.
We should applaud Orange Cassidy, or at least I should. I think you agree with me from what you just said, though. I came away from Wednesday night and it was like, what, a 30-second promo that he cut?
Yep.
I was interested in Orange Cassidy for the first time.
I'm the same way. I was more into him than I probably have at any point.
Yep. And it goes to show like what you can do with just a little bit of character and not 3.5 years of wrestling with his hands in his pockets. Like just let him say something. It doesn't have to be funny. It doesn't have to be cute. Let him just go out there and talk and explain why he wants to win and what his goals are and show a little bit of fire. And you can still be a little cute with it too. I don't have a catchphrase. Like that's fine. Like that is totally fine. If that's how he's going to end his promos, but for the first time ever, I was interested in Orange Cassidy on Wednesday.
I am with you. Maybe I'm just like annoyed in general with the product, but it just seems so goofy lately. And so Orange Cassidy, of all people, being serious stands out, and it made the show better. So if they could make the show more serious at places, I think it would have a good impact.
All right, phone calls. We're going to get to them right now. 347-215-8558. 724, you're first to join us tonight. 724, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks. This is Chris from Fairview, Pennsylvania. Just wanted to applaud you two for covering this on the fly when it comes to this kind of massive breaking news and the fact that it was overshadowing pretty much the entire show. I really don't know how any of the storylines are. Any of these characters are doing anything moving into the pay-per-view tomorrow. This is really all anybody's talking about, even in addition to the Payback pay-per-view tonight. I guess the first main question I had for both of you was, do you think when considering this news, is the locker room past the point of no return just based on how it's been managed over the last few years? And given you've eliminated Punk, maybe hoping that it'll stabilize, but you still have Jack Perry there. You still have, you know, the Elite, the Young Bucks, and that level of maturity. I really don't know how Tony, with this decision, is going to bring everybody back to a baseline and, I guess, move forward. I guess I just don't see it. What do you think of the locker room morale at this point with the CM Punk firing news?
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard. Andrew, I think the biggest thing, like, I kind of go back and look at it like, look, Tony owns an NFL team too, right, or his family does. So in the NFL, you have captains, right? Like, what he really needs are some captains to kind of step up and be leaders of the locker room. And it sounds like, I think I read something earlier today that they anticipate the soft roster split to maybe end coming up here soon, which is fine. Like, as long as I don't think you want to overexpose people and have them on both shows in a given week, but you could have, okay, this guy's on Collision this week, and then he's going to be on Dynamite next week, and you could do stuff like that. We talked about that. But I think what you need is you need three or four guys that you can look to and be like, all right, these are the captains of my locker room type of guy. And if there's issues in the locker room, they go to that leadership core, and if it's something they can't handle, then they bring it to Tony. The problem with that is, in my opinion, Andrew, is you've empowered them with their titles, and the Bucks, and Kenny being part of that is fine, because I think Kenny's a mature adult. You've also empowered the Bucks to be part of that, and that's where I think this plan that I'm talking about would fail, because I just don't think that they're mature enough to really handle it. You know, I think that you'd want to look at guys like, I think Kenny would be fine, but I think you want to look at guys like Kenny, you want to look at guys like Danielson, you want to look at guys like Samoa Joe, who reportedly was fantastic in the aftermath of everything last week and kind of settled everybody down. You want to have a three or four kind of crew of veterans, right, where you look at them and go, these are our captains. If there's issues in the locker room, you go to them. If they can't handle it, they come to me. Kind of like how it works in a pro sport locker room. But the issue with that, like I said, is given their titles and everything else, the Bucks would be, I think, in that mix. And I don't know if they're individuals that I would want leading my locker room. You know what I mean? I just don't think it's their role, Andrew. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No, I agree with that. I don't think the Bucks would be those guys who could do that. I think Moxley, Joe, like you said, Danielson, and apparently Jericho.
Forgot about Moxley, yeah.
Yeah, Jericho is supposedly good at that, although maybe that's just him saying that.
but he's another one. Like, he's, again, like, that's a guy that you would kind of look at and go, all right, he's one of the captains of my locker room type of thing.
Yeah, I'm probably more optimistic that things will improve just because I don't think they could get much worse. I think there's probably a lot of, like, I told you so, like, this was going to happen with Punk, like, his ego was going to get the best of him. But I think Tony probably has some, like, fences to mend as well, because, like, imagine, like, you know, John Moxley lost to Punk. He, you know, he kind of stepped aside when Punk came in, and basically Moxley was saying, like, hey, enjoy CM Punk because he's not going to be here long. Like, fragile mind, fragile ego, fragile body, and it turned out to be right. And Moxley's still here, so hopefully, like, Tony leans more on him, and Danielson especially, because he also said too, like, if something happens to me, like, Danielson should run this company, something to that effect.
Yes.
So maybe he'll get a bigger chance to help with Collision, and we'll kind of see what he does. And I'm sure will have a better environment. While it sounds like he's, you know, able to keep people in line as well. So, yeah, I'm probably a little more optimistic about it.
And I think, too, like I said earlier, like, I know he doesn't want to do this, but sometimes when you're the boss, you have to. Like, I think Tony's got to be a little bit of a jerk. And if he wants to stop the guys going into business for themselves and wants to show, like, I am in control here, I'm the one in charge, bury Jack Perry. Like, he's got to bury him. And not forever. Like,
right.
I'm not saying you got to just give him out, you know, till the end of time. But you've got to take 6 months and have everybody beat this guy and make it known that it's happening because of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And Punk got fired for what he did, and Perry's getting jobbed out for what he did. You know, he had this push that was going on, and it got stopped and got kicked to the side, and now he's doing jobs for, you know, QT Marshall. and make it known that that's the reason why. Like, this is why Punk got fired. This is why Perry is happening what's happening to him.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that sends a message to the rest of the locker room that, okay, we're just going to kind of fall in line. Like, we have some creative liberties here, but we're not going to do anything that is going into business for ourselves, because we will face a consequence if we do. Like, right, I don't think right now anyone felt they would have faced any consequences for doing that, including Jack Perry, which is why he did it. Like, I don't think he felt that he would have faced any consequences for doing what he did on Sunday.
No, yeah, I don't know what was going through his mind or why he thought that was a good idea, but yeah, I don't think he thought he was going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah. Anything else, Chris?
Thanks, guys, for that response. I guess I'm just wondering, how long is it going to be until the Young Bucks get on TV and make some type of passive-aggressive statement or allusion to the firing, if that I don't know if their ego will, you know, compel them to do that in the next few weeks, or maybe
kind of
Tony
Khan.
Tomorrow. Or if not tonight, after the show went off the air.
yeah, true.
Yeah, no, I
guess
that's...
But to answer your question, I think it definitely happens. It's just a matter of when.
So I guess in response to that then, if that does happen, and that's yet another kind of example of people going into business for themselves for something that has now been resolved or should be resolved. Like Tony has not nipped this in the bud, but has taken care of this situation and is trying to bring the locker room back. If the Young Bucks go into business for themselves, make this statement or whatever they will do, an allusion, will there be any repercussions, or should there be any repercussions for anybody in the future going on TV and making a comment about this? Because obviously it's not going to feed into a future storyline. To me, it's going to do nothing but just continue to remind people of this bad drama. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think if I'm Tony, I have a meeting with my talent tomorrow and say, you are never to speak CM Punk's name again, and you're not to allude to him on TV in any way because of that. You know, all this is going to do is bring up bad memories. It's going to keep the whole drama of last weekend alive. And again, like, the people that are going to want to say something are the people that are going to that were against Punk and are going to want to take a victory lap because of this. And maybe he lets it slide for a week and lets them get it out of their system. But if I'm him, again, today, the firing of, like, if I'm Tony Khan, the firing of CM Punk today should be the first step in him trying to take control over his locker room. And he should absolutely make it be known that we are not going to speak of this anymore. We are going to pretend like this no longer exists, because it doesn't. It is over with. He is fired. He is gone. We are not going to make comments about it on TV. We are not going to keep it alive. We're not going to do things on social media. We are going to move on. Because at this point, the only purpose it would serve is for people like the Bucks and others who are on the anti-Punk side to take a victory lap about how their side won or whatever. So, yeah, I think, Andrew, I don't know if you agree or not, but I think that tonight, if I'm Tony, I look at today as step one in taking control back of my locker room, and I would make that message clear, abundantly clear. We are not going to speak about this anymore. We're not going to make any sort of hand signal or facial signal or any sort of line on TV about it. We're not going to do anything to acknowledge this, and it's going to go away eventually. It might not be right away, but it will go away eventually. But we're not going to acknowledge this at all. And if you do, you will face some sort of repercussion for it. I'm not saying you're going to be fired, but I think he needs to, at some point, draw the line in the sand and say, I am in control here. I am the boss. I am not your friend. I am the boss. And if you don't listen, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no good that can come out of, like, antagonizing the crowd right now. You know, the Bucks did that before in that one match where they like, botched the Hangman's finisher on purpose, like Punk did. The Kenny Omega was biting somebody. Like, you can't do that stuff again, because then there was at least a chance in their minds that Punk would come back and they could maybe do something with this. That's not happening now. Like, Punk's not coming back, I would imagine, ever to AEW. And so, yeah, and to bring that up, and many, many fans are pissed off right now, and just, like, there's no reason to antagonize them, because I'm sure some people are just done with AEW. Some hardcore Punk fans are like, hey, he's the reason I'm watching. You know, other fans of his might just not stick around either, and no reason to, like, piss them off. So, yeah, I'm with you that they shouldn't do anything, but I would put my money on the Bucks will do something tomorrow night.
Anything else, Chris?
Thanks, guys. Not really. I agree with what you have said, in the sense that what you actually just said in terms of following AEW, the last few months, just the roller coaster, even going back a year now, with all of these, I guess, immature personalities trying to play a game of one-upsmanship. And, you know, I've been a fan of CM Punk for quite a while now and haven't really been the biggest fan of him in the last few months, given some of his antics. But I also realize that, it's other parties that are also responsible. And I guess I just don't trust Tony Khan to steer this ship better moving forward, because I haven't seen any evidence of it in the last few months, going back to a year. I guess my last overall question, and then I'll let you go. Do you think Punk is completely blacklisted from wrestling now? I know in previous shows, and I listened to The Fix as well, you know, Wade and Todd have talked about, is he potentially doing this, maybe not on purpose, but is he having this cavalier, devil-may-care attitude of not caring about repercussions here, because maybe once he's done with AEW, he now has a path forward to WWE. Do you think he's completely done with wrestling at this point, or what are the chances of him heading to WWE? And, yeah, that's my last question, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. That's a great question. I don't think it's zero, Andrew, I don't think the chances are zero that he goes to WWE. I think there's people in WWE that also don't want him there. However, I think he also I think if he were to go back to WWE, I think he would have a respect for the order in which things happen there. Like, there is a hierarchy of authority with WWE, and it stops with Vince and Triple H. The one thing I noticed, I watched this entire Cauliflower Alley Club speech from this past weekend, or this past week. I think it was like Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And he was complimentary of Triple H.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah.
I found it telling in a way. I don't know if they want him back. I think if they made an offer to him, I think he would go back, in part because I think he is spiteful. And I think if he looked at it as a way to go to WWE and, you know, have a top match at WrestleMania and can give a middle finger to the Bucks at the same time and Tony for firing him, I think he would want to do that. And I don't think he wants this to be his last impression either. Like, I think he wants to do something. I don't know that WWE would take him, but I think if given the opportunity, I think it's something he would entertain. And I don't think he would have before this AEW experience, if that makes sense.
I agree with that. I think, and maybe this is just, you know, we haven't seen this yet, or maybe it'll never come out. Maybe it's not something we'll ever see. Is if, like, say some footage comes out and it looks really bad, like Punk is like, you know, about to like strangle Tony Khan, this comes out, like, no, that could like shoot, you know, that would shoot down any chance of him going to WWE. I think Tony Khan coming out and saying he feared for his life, even if people find that silly, like, that's a terrible look for anyone to bring in Punk right now. Just to, you know, he looks unhinged at the moment. However, like, you know, ever is a long time, as they say. I don't think we'll see him wrestle in WWE within the next like few years. He's 44, maybe late 40s when, you know, enough time has passed. Maybe he comes in as a manager someday or does some commentary. I don't know what else he would do. I don't think New Japan would bring him in. I mean, unless like Impact offered him a lot of money to be their star, but I don't think they could probably pay him what he would want. So
no.
I don't think we see Punk involved in wrestling in the next 3-4 years. That's just my guess.
I wonder if WWE would bring him in, you know, even on a short-term thing, like 6 months, just to use him a little bit. Just to say, hey, look, like, that place down there, they couldn't figure this guy out. They don't know how to manage people, but look at what we did. You know, almost kind of a you couldn't make it work. Well, he came here and he fell in line because we're a real company, Pinocchio. And we, you know, figured out a way. We know how to manage our people. Like, I could see them doing that almost as a way to take a shot at AEW.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be tempting to bring him in and have him lose to Cody or Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. There's definitely some money to be made off him, and maybe they could do like an Edge type thing where he wrestles, you know, 10, 12 matches a year.
Yeah.
And they could say, much like Cody, like, hey, we had this guy. We used him better. This is a more professional environment. He didn't try to.
And that's the thing. I don't think Punk would behave that way in WWE because I think he knows it wouldn't be tolerated. You know, it goes back to the locker room environment that Tony kind of fosters. Punk was empowered to behave the way that he behaved because his boss empowered him to do that. You know, a lot of the issues that have happened backstage in AEW is because the bosses have empowered the talent to behave the way that they do. I don't think that Punk would be empowered to behave that way in WWE, and I think he would know that. So I don't think he would try to get away with what he would try to get away with in AEW.
Possibly, yeah. On the way out, he was arguing with, like, Vince a lot. He was arguing with Triple H. He didn't want to do that Triple H match at WrestleMania. It depends on, like, whether Hunter can either let that slide for business or if he's like, hey, you know, I'll bring him in, but he's going to know that I'm the boss now, essentially. Or he could just say, like, hey, you know, He may have taken it personally. Like, Punk didn't want to wrestle me at WrestleMania. Like, screw that guy. Like, he has nowhere else to go. He's not coming in. We're doing just fine without him. So,
yeah.
I can
it all
take
depends. Over. I think it all depends on how much of a lesson Triple H took from Vince, because there were so many people that I was like, they'll never come back to WWE. You know, Jeff Jarrett was one, and he was back and was an executive there. Like,
Warrior and
Piper, Hogan. Yeah, all these guys. And it's like, how many guys has it been like, oh, they're never going to take him back? And then they do.
almost everybody.
You know,
yeah.
Even like Hall and Nash 20 years ago. Like, you know, they left and started the war, and he still took him back. Like, if he felt like it was the best thing to do for business and he can make some money with the guy, like, he would bring anybody back. So I think look, Vince reportedly still has plenty of influence there. I think there's also a lot of people that Punk. And also, was it Fox wanted Punk at 1.2? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, I think so.
And again, I don't know what his relationship is with the Endeavor people. Endeavor's about to own the company, but Punk does a lot of commentary for MMA still, and he does a lot of commentary on shows that are on Fight Pass, which Endeavor owns. So,
interesting.
Like, I think there's some sort of a relationship there with Endeavor and UFC. Like, there's reasons why I think he could still end up there and not full time. And there's going to be people that he won't work with. Like, Seth Rollins made some comments about Punk, and I don't think Punk would want to work with Seth. I don't think Seth doesn't want to work with Punk either, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could put Punk in with Roman Reigns. You could put Punk in with Nakamura, Cody, you know, those type of matches, you know, McIntyre, like, guys like that, and I think there's plenty of guys there that will work with Punk. And if he's only working 5 or 6 matches a year, if he's doing like the Edge deal, you know, he's not going to be on the show every week anyway.
Something that just popped in my mind, though, is like the money might not be there either right now, because it sounds like they wouldn't give Edge what he wanted. And with the Endeavor purchase, they're probably like, you know, not making big investments right now. So if Punk comes in, it might have to wait a while, or they may just not give him anywhere near as much as like Tony Khan was offering.
Yeah, that could be too. All right, let's go to Greg in Waterloo, Iowa is up next. Greg, what is on your mind after the Collision tonight?
Oh boy, hello, can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so I've got a lot of thoughts, you know, mainly I'll just get out of the way that I'm kind of biased in a pro CM Punk direction, but that aside, I actually was interested in talking about the state of this pay-per-view card coming up, because I think it's interesting coming out of Wednesday and out of tonight that I'm of the opinion that this has the chance to be a pretty strong in-ring show, because there's a few of the matches I think are going to be really strong. This international title match, which I think is going to be divisive in how it is received, as a lot of those matches are. But then the Omega Takeshita match and this 8-man tag match, I think, should all be solid. Those all should be strong matches. So I think there's a chance the show's going to be really strong, pretty strong as far as in-ring goes. But also at the same time, there's 10 matches on this show. They're going to try to fit 10 matches into 3 to 3.5 hours, and they're not going to have the same crowd for all that. So I wonder, is this maybe too many matches on a show like this at a time where they're in a stretch that is not the greatest for them right now, considering everything that's going on and where they're at for the show?
Yeah, I think so. I think they put too many matches on all these shows, Andrew. I don't know if you agree or not, but there's quite a few. There's probably a handful of these matches where it's like they could put this on Dynamite next week and it would be totally fine.
Yeah, they have done a better job, because they used to do like 13 matches. I would say 10 is too many. Like, easily Shane Taylor Joe doesn't need to be on the show. Yeah, I would say probably two could be cut, and that would probably help with the overall flow.
I think eight's a good number. Yeah, I think eight's the number you should shoot for.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm actually got the WWE Payback show on here right now as I'm talking to you guys, and they have six matches on this show, and it's going about a little over 3 hours. And I mean, to me, I think a couple of the matches have stood out over the rest of the card. But, you know, I was thinking, like, if you had a couple of less matches on this show, you could, because I feel like this might take some of the time away from the matches that would get more time that could be really good. I mean, like, you know, it's like, she could easily put Omega and Takeshita out there for 25 minutes and they could just, like, really, but I wonder, do you have time to have a match go that long on a show like this? Because it should be a show where, like, I guess you could have a few matches should be getting more of the focus than the other matches on the show, like, you know, the international title match and the 8-man tag and the Omega Takeshita match. But I wonder, like, I just don't know if you have enough time to let everything sink in. And London was different. It was a special environment because of the crowd and everything, but I just don't know if that's enough time to let everything sink in. Maybe I'm overanalyzing this because they're in a unique situation right now, but that's my perception. But I do sense that this show does have a chance to be good enough in ring that, like, it could really end up being a strong show. But the number of matches on the show makes me wonder about that, because there are several matches that could really stand out, like, and could still, but you know, maybe if there were a couple of matches, less matches, these matches that could really stand out would even more possibly.
Yeah, I'm willing to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt going into tomorrow, just because, Andrew, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about All In yet either. But it was probably one of the most well-paced shows they've had, I thought. It just it felt like everything was timed well, and you had moments that were given time to feel like moments, like Saraya winning the belt in front of her hometown, and her family gets to the ring. They didn't rush through it. Like, so it last week, I thought, was one of their most well-paced and well-timed shows that maybe they've ever done. So I'm willing to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt going into a show just a week later that they haven't overcrowded this card. But, Andrew, on paper, it does feel like they have overcrowded the card. And I wonder how much of that was a panic move coming out of last week's show, looking at that card going like, oh, all we have booked is Chris Statlander and Ruby Soho, Powerhouse Hobbs and Miro. Like, did Tony sit there at one point and go, I'm putting this on pay-per-view? What am I doing?
He probably did. He should have thought about this months ago, what he was going to do. So, yeah, I think the show, obviously, it should be good. Like, in my mind, they still yet to put on a bad pay-per-view. They've all been pretty good to great. So just the in-ring quality should be good. And hopefully, you know, maybe everyone's going to be working extra hard tomorrow just because they know, you know, they're in a bad spot right now. People are not, you know, this is bad news for them. This is a bad day for them. So maybe they want to get extra motivated and put on a surprisingly good show. So, yeah, as down as I'm not excited for it just because none of the storylines are doing much for me, but I'm sure when I'm watching it, I'll be enjoying it.
Anything else, Greg?
Yeah, I'll make a couple final points here and then let you go on to somebody else. But first, I'm with you guys that, like, you know, I share this, more so, Mike, I share this apprehension or suspicion that, like, Tony Khan might not be up to the challenge in terms of, like, really effectively handling things in the company. I will say the situation, you know, he said he had a lot of internal or people from the outside looking at the situation, and I mean, it, my sense is, although I do tend to skewer in a pro CM Punk direction personally, that it must be pretty bad for this to ended up the way it did, and for the announcement, and I know it was rough and he clunked it, but, like, to get out there in front and try to address it, I think, is kind of the situation must be pretty bad. And I am intrigued to see how things continue to go backstage in the locker room. I kind of selfishly hope things continue to be somewhat crazy because I think it's fun to follow. But at the same time, you know, you don't want it to be at, like, the detriment of people who, you know, who aren't, or not doing anything wrong, who are just trying to earn a paycheck and all this, and also people who you like and respect in the company. And then also, I guess, if there's a silver lining that maybe if he doesn't have to pay CM Punk's salary anymore, like, you know, you could open up the checkbook a little more to a couple of people who are being talked about potentially coming in, like Edge or Mercedes. So maybe there's a bit of a silver lining. But I think, though, short term, like, you know, Collision was in rough shape anyway, and I think that it may still be rough sailing as far as crowds go and everything. And so, but I mean, it will be interesting. And by the backstage behind the scenes environment, I could see continuing to be the most interesting part of the show. And then also, I will say this though, before everybody gets too quick to judge and say like all the problems are going to go away because CM Punk's gone, let's remember there were like four or five other backstage incidents that happened over the course of like a month after All Out. I mean, All In last year. So I mean, there's still things that could still be taking place in terms of potential problem spots there that I think need to be handled well. And also, who knows like how people are going to respond to the Punk events. I mean, if he has people in his corner, and then also like if the style of the show on Saturday that people prefer wrestling on changes as well without CM Punk. I guess we'll see. There's a lot of things that could come out of this, but if I've learned one thing, you can't really predict the future, so I'll leave with that.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. That was a lot of good points.
All right, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, too, like, Andrew, you texted this to me earlier. We were like, earlier tonight, what's the point of Collision now? Like, do you think Collision runs the risk without knowing that that's the CM Punk show and that's where you're going to see Punk and it's where you're going to see Joe? Like, if the soft roster split that they have goes away and it becomes this show where, like, yeah, everybody kind of appears on it, but there's times where, you know, nobody's on the show on the same show on the same week. And like, we talked about this before they launched, before we knew it was going to be like a roster split. You know, you could have, okay, you have your eight ongoing feuds and you could say, all right, their next development is going to be on Dynamite this week and Collision the next week and split it up that way. But do you think Collision runs the risk, if this is what happens, of kind of becoming what Rampage has become? It's just this missable show.
I will be surprised if it doesn't. I think, yeah, it's going to become more missable. I'm genuinely bummed out about this whole thing because I was enjoying Collision. Punk has been my favorite wrestler to watch for the past few years. And for me, just from like a fan standpoint, that was the big hook for that show is like Punk's there, you know, he has influence on it. You know, what's going to be different from that, from Dynamite? And if that goes away and nobody else steps in with like a slightly different vision, it's just going to be more like Dynamite. And that the one thing they had going for it, because they didn't have the star power overall, was just that it felt different. It felt slower, more, you know, there wasn't like people screaming at you all the time. But I imagine it's going to be a 2-hour Rampage, basically.
That's what it feels like to me. Yeah. And as a complete aside, speaking of that, they need to figure out a way to fix these commentary teams. I mean, you've got, oh my God, it's like on one side of the coin, you've got Excalibur who's just screaming at you at a million miles an hour for 2 hours on Wednesday. And then you have – I like Kevin Kelly and I like Nigel McGuinness, but there were times tonight where it's like – it felt like they didn't even know what was really going on. It's like there's got to be something in the middle. I think the good middle ground is Ian Riccoboni. I thought
yep.
he was really good when he filled in for Kevin Kelly too.
Yep.
If I were Tony, I would just make that guy the voice of both of my shows because I think that's where you can make some changes every couple of years to make things feel fresh. Like, I'm sure Excalibur's a nice guy. I just can't listen to him screaming at me for 2 hours over. It's been this way for 4 years now. Like it gives me a headache. It takes me out of the show. And,
yeah.
and I think you want to keep JR around just because, you know, at this point I find it comical listening to JR like complain about the product under his breath during,
why is everything golden
while he's on the show? You know, it's just, I like the grumpy old man shtick that he's got going. I don't even think it's a shtick. I don't even think he thinks it's a shtick. It's just him. But I find that entertaining, where he's like, who's the legal man? Jeez, we're not even tagging anymore, are we, huh? Like, he's just openly complaining.
Yeah.
Changing up some of the sound of the show, I think, could be refreshing because I noticed that on Wednesday, again, they're running down the all-out card, and all it is someone going, and John Moxley's going to take on Orange Cassidy, and if he wins tonight, Prentice is going to take it on, and then we have the tag team match. And it's just like, oh, my God, I feel like it's Don. I love Don West, but I feel like I'm getting yelled at by Don West again. Just turn the volume down a little bit.
Yeah, when you yell everything in the same inflection, nothing stands out. Like, you could, you know, do that for a couple matches, but, yeah, Excalibur doesn't have that. It's just all yelling. I think I read Ian Riccoboni was offered the Saturday show, but he didn't want to do it. He wanted to, like, spend time with his family, I think. But, yeah, I enjoyed him Yeah. I enjoyed him more. He has a good energy. He's kind of a goofball. But, yeah, to me, he's a pretty big upgrade over Kevin Kelly. I don't dislike Kevin Kelly, but I thought Rick Abani was more fun, and he had better chemistry with Nigel. And I think that's important for a Saturday night. Make it feel like a lively show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm with you.
This may be a controversial take, but you know who I think has been really good?
Brian Alvarez.
Well, I mean, maybe, yeah. But
wait, no, not – no, who's the – is he the backstage guy or is he the reporter?
Is that
– where's the figure?
Marvez.
Oh, Marvez.
Alex Marvez.
Yeah, I meant
Brian Alvarez is from the Wrestling Observer.
Those names aren't even close. I don't know how
– Alex Marvez. No, I don't know. I forget what his name is now with Impact, but the guy who was Tom Hannafin in WWE.
Oh,
I think he's actually been really, really good.
I think he is Tom Hannafin.
Oh, maybe he's Tom Hannafin
now. Tom Phillips.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like him. Yeah.
When I watch Impact, I'm like, wow, this guy's like, he's gotten better. Like, I think without somebody in his headset telling him what to say, I think he's really good with Impact.
I agree. I think, I wouldn't mind if someday he went to AEW and was on one of those shows.
One last thing before we get out of here, because I did say we were going to keep it in an hour, because I have an early wake-up call tomorrow. And this was kind of a show that was not scheduled, so we were going to keep it at 60 minutes, and we were at 61 minutes. But one last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here, and it's completely non-AEW related. Did you see any clips? I'm sure you didn't see the match, but did you see any clips of this EC3 Tyrus match last week?
Oh, God, no.
do yourself a favor, and sorry, I'm losing my voice here, apparently. Go on. I'll send you a couple of clips on Twitter of just what a athletic specimen Tyrus is.
Oh man, and I feel EC3 was saying like this is going to be the best NWA match so far. Tyrus was not good 12 years ago.
No,
and I imagine he's probably less mobile. But yeah,
not a lot of what I would call mobility or speed. Or movement, really, whatsoever.
Oh, I'm morbidly curious to check this out.
Yeah, and just all around great guy too. I mean, goes on TV and says how he's gonna beat his kids. You know, just seems like an all around great guy on top of it. But yeah, really, real. I mean, it's his last match. Good. I ended up watching the whole thing. I tortured myself
and
watched the whole thing. But. Yeah, I was watching it. I was actually at a friend of mine's house, and he had it on, and we were watching it, and he was like, hey, did you see what he said on TV last week about, what he said if his kids came home? I said, yeah, I did. He was going to beat his kids or whatever.
Yeah.
I said, the good news is they don't have to run real fast in order to get away, because that dude cannot move at all. there was one where I'll send you the clip. He hits the ropes, and it's like I can't even call it hitting the ropes. He kind of like hit the ropes with his hand and then fell on EC3. I think it was supposed to be a dive. Oh boy, was it bad!
Send me that. It just makes me think less of Billy Corgan too. So
I know that's the upsetting part, because I like Billy Corgan and I'm a Smashing Pumpkins fan, but like.
Yeah.
Really? Like, you're putting your eggs in that guy's basket? Come on. Yeah. I know there's not a lot of people out
there. He doesn't have a lot of choices, but almost there's whoever's on that roster, I bet most of them would be a better choice.
And is the rationale just he's on TV? Like, how many Fox News viewers at 10 p.m. or whatever show he's on are buying NWA pay-per-views? How much money did you make off the fact that he's on Fox News every night?
Is he even on the main Fox News? I thought he was on their side web only one, but I don't even know if that's still going, but yeah,
I think the show he's on is on TV now.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think he's probably much of a draw, but
I mean, I think he's on it every night too, but how many of those people are going to buy an NWA pay-per-view? How many 66-year-old people that are watching Fox News 10 o'clock at night are going, oh, Tyrus is wrestling this weekend. I'm going to buy the pay-per-view and watch the show.
Tyrus versus what? 66?
I'm
going to
go with conservatively. I'm going to go with zero.
I was going to say like six, but might be
maybe
a better one.
For some reason, there are like 3 million people that watch that channel. So yeah, maybe there were six. Maybe there were six people. I don't know. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Any other AEW thoughts before we get ready to take off and get ready to watch All Out tomorrow?
No, it's just a bummer of a day. Understandable what they did, getting rid of Punk, but yeah, it's just another black cloud over this company, and hopefully it's the last one for a while.
Yes, hopefully. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this show tonight and it enjoys All Out tomorrow. Andrew and I will be back in our regularly scheduled slot on Mondays to talk everything that happened at All Out. We'll do kind of like an All Out reaction show on Monday. So enjoy the pay-per-view. Andrew and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.